Do you hear, sister? You can adjust the tuning and then the volume that you want. What happened, we just try a new system that transmits from the library, and the brothers or the sisters that doesn't know English, they can hear the language still be in the auditorium. But we have a little problem. The problem is that we have in this power line outside some things that you see around there. It's a powerful antenna for the cordless telephones, and sometimes it interferes, and we have a little problem. So they're going to go through a complete overhaul, these people, and they're going to replace the transformer in the corner and do some other things. So we are trying to work around them, and we work around everybody, and I know pretty soon we'll get all the problems out, so they can pick up a pair of earphones coming in the auditorium, and then they can hear the service while they're with their families. It's good to see with your family, isn't it? You know? And that little girl, Brother Philemon, says yes. God bless the little girl, you know. When we study the scriptures, remember, it's not how well you feel, it's not how much you cry, but it is fulfilling the Word of God in your life. And the biggest question is this: who is fulfilling it? Are you fulfilling it with the power of the flesh, or the Holy Spirit is fulfilling it in you? This is what counts. This is beyond measure. And when we study the scriptures, we gain some knowledge that God has to reveal it to us, remove the veil, so we can see what He's saying. And I'm thankful to the Lord for His Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will do that work. Now, studying Philippians, all of us I know heard or prayed the name of Jesus. The question is, why the name of Jesus or another name? How He get the name of Jesus, and the reason. Because when God appointed to come in flesh, the name was given, His name shall be called Jesus. And now, when you see the name of Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus, baptize in the name of Jesus, sing in the name of Jesus, do we realize what we're singing about? Who is Jesus now that we're singing? Who is Jesus? And when I start studying that, it's like you fall into an ocean that there's no depth. So you have to pick up what's available and go on from there. Or at least what's revealed before you go any farther. Let's turn our Bibles. I know we have been working on Philippians. In Philippians, before I get to Hebrews for a minute, in Philippians, the second chapter, we read this. The seventh verse, he said this: but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. You know, he was made in the likeness of man. And listen to this: took upon the form of a servant. That word is not servant, but it was a word slave. You know, a slave has no rights. You tell him to get up 2 o'clock in the morning and plow the field. He gets up 2 o'clock in the morning and plows the field. That's what he does. And we're supposed to be slaves of Jesus Christ. And Paul, when he refers to Paul as servant of Jesus Christ, it's not a servant, but a slave of Jesus Christ. And I like that, because we have to surrender everything to Christ. Am I right? I mean, we play games sometimes. One time I saw a man with a jug full of water and color and was pouring some cold drinks overseas, and he left that jar sitting there for a while, and the dye went down. There was just water left. And I said to myself, I want the real thing. I don't want somebody to fake me. So when we see now the scriptures, some things this morning, it will be a little shocking, but we go to the second chapter of Hebrews, and let's read one verse only, the second chapter of Hebrews, the second chapter, starting with the 16 verse, 16, 17, and 18. 16 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham," not seeds, remember, seed. "Wherefore, in all things he behooved him to be made like unto the brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and make reconciliation." That word reconciliation is not there, it's propitiation, "for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to," I don't know how to pronounce that word, "to secure them that are tempted," because I read in my Bible the original word, and when it says tempted, it's not tempted, be bothered, because you don't tempt God. Read the book of James, says God is not tempted. We are tempted by our own desires and so on. And instead of that, tempted is bothered. And also, I like that final word there that says, "so that he can be able to help us when we are tempted." I like that. We have a help. Am I right? You know, we are suffering in this life. The devil is fighting. But you know, he says, he came to do these things just to help you and me. He knows. Now, when we study something, and I like studying the scriptures, because there it tells you where you stand. It's important to rejoice, to sing the songs, and praise God, and so on. But you know, unless we study the scriptures, how do we know we're going to stand in the other side? You know, you can say, "Lord Jesus, I sing all my life." You know what's happening? The word is going to open. He says, "What about this book?" Am I right? We don't cover anything up. It has to be in this book right here. And people sometimes are pretty confused about redemption, and I'd like to define three key words there, so everybody to know what it is. Number one is propitiation, or to propitiate. Number two is atonement. And number three is redemption. I doubt if too many people can separate the three. Well, Jesus did everything, you know. But he has done a great work right here. The first thing when you look in the scriptures and you refer to the word propitiate, it's the same word that we read in reconciliation, is propitiation. You see, Brother David, what is propitiation? Comes from the word elasterion, which means the atonement, or to make an atonement, or turning away of the wrath by an offering. That offering, he made it, you didn't make it, and I didn't make it. So now, you and I were already judged to die. Because we were born in sin, come to this world. We go to church sometimes, you burn a candle, people do this and do that, put their names on the books. And I believe that your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You don't need any book to put your name down. But when you look at you and I, who were condemned. And when we talk about propitiation, we are referring to the turning of the wrath by an offering. Somebody had to die for you and I to pay the penalty. Remember, he's God and he can say, "Now you are forgiven." But you know, we don't want to accept this, but God has children and Satan has children too. People don't realize that. He told the Pharisees, "You're your father the devil." Am I right? You know, So God now, looking at his children, he provided something. He provided a sacrifice so he can take away the wrath that was upon me and upon you. It's like somebody is sentenced by the judge to die. Now, in the Old Testament, you have something which is called Kinsman Redeemer. Let's suppose if Brother Gordon lost every penny and he didn't know what to do, so they grabbed him, they put him in jail. Let's suppose that I was his brother. Somebody else comes around with money. He says, what's the penalty for Gordon? He says, $100,000. He says, I'll pay it. Let Gordon out. He cannot do it. It has to be a kinsman redeemer. Watch what I'm doing. It has to be blood relation. When we talk about kinsman, it's blood relation. He cannot do it even if he pays. But if Gordon is my brother, I can go in. And I said, here's the money, get my brother out of there. And I have the right to get my brother out of there. That's the function of a kinsman redeemer. And in propitiation, Christ provided the necessary sacrifice so he can get you and I out of hell. You had nothing to do with it. When you say propitiation in relation to Christ, you automatically refer the blood because it demands sacrifice in order to do propitiation. And when Jesus is my propitiation, I don't help him to do something for him. He provided the sacrifice for Jesus Christ, which was Jesus Christ. He provided everything for me so he could get me away from the wrath of God. So the penalty is paid. So I'm free. And I say, I'm born again. What does it mean to be born again? Before you were dead and ready to go to hell, and now you live in Christ with eternal life. People think sometimes that now God decided now what I'm supposed to do. Let's try this or let's try that. God knew from the beginning what he was going to do. The lamb was to be slain. Excuse me, before the foundation of the world. It was an instant decision. Before the world was founded, God knew everything. And I like that. Now, you are free because of propitiation. Because what he paid for you, and he did it all for you. Now, Brother David, is there anybody else to help you? A preacher, a deacon? Any priest or anything like that? No. Because if you try to contribute, you will pollute the sacrifice. Leave the sacrifice alone. Jesus did it all, and I haven't done nothing but I trust in his work. The second part, it's free. When I say it's free, I didn't have to pay for it. No criteria, but just God calls in your heart to go to him. You go to him, he doesn't say if you are nice looking or not nice looking, if you have money, you don't have any money, if you are Greek, Italian, whatever you are, it didn't make any difference to God. All human race, he died for the ones that he foreknew. So that's part of the name of Jesus. You can say, I'm qualified. How do you know you're qualified? I'm qualified because I believe that sacrifice was for me. Amen? So when you pray to Jesus, remember, he delivered you, he provided propitiation, which is a sacrifice of his blood to set you free from the wrath to come. The second part now we have here, it's atonement. What is atonement? Atonement, the word comes from the word, katalagi, which means to exchange, to produce a change or disposition, to reconcile, to change a person from enemy to friendship. Now listen. God made that sacrifice. Sacrifice is there. I'm sitting here, God knocks on my door. He said, listen, David, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to believe what I have done for you. Isn't it beautiful? So there's no responsibility for me. He did it all. So he pricks my heart, makes me kind of feel that I have to get there. I have no choice. You know, when God's dealing with you, you have no choice. You ignore the whole world, relatives and everything, and you keep on going to God. You know, you have no choice. So now God said, listen, he says, I have provided that sacrifice. Now, when I accept that sacrifice and says that was for me, he did it. Then because I becomes atonement to me. Why? He paid the price to set me free from there. It's an exchange. And what happened? He changed me from the wrath to eternity. The first one, he provided the sacrifice so you don't get the wrath. The second part, now we go to the atonement, is what he has done, and you establish a relation with him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now we go to the third part of the redemption. And what's apolitros? To set liberty because he paid the price. Now, after you accept the sacrifice of Calvary, you are free now and you go on. Now, when we say free, let's don't take a license to do anything we want to. If that spirit comes in your heart, we'll read the word and obey the word. I always have a policy in my life. You know, I have been for years, you know, following this message and so on. When people say, I got this, I got that, the only thing I'm saying is this, give me the scriptures for what you believe. Because that's the only thing that's accurate. I don't say message is not accurate. I don't say that. I'm saying the interpretation of the people that they give me probably is wrong. But I have to go to the scriptures and praise his Lord. Would you help me to know what I'm doing? I like that, don't you? Because I don't believe in giving any advice to any person without giving them the scriptures with it. Because I can drop dead tomorrow. If that person is basing his decision on my word, I can be 100 miles away from the truth. But if you point them to the scriptures, after I die, they can say, that's it, right here. It's always the same. Nothing changed. So we stay with it. Now, when we look at the doctrine of propitiation, which comes from the word elastion, of course, we see it's the turning away the wrath of God by a sacrifice. He needs a sacrifice. And the only sacrifice that we have was the blood of Christ. Die at Calvary. Now, people will philosophize about that. I was reading the latest Presbyterian bulletin. And the Presbyterians now, of course, the council approved gay pastors and so on. But they come up with another idea. Is there another Savior except Jesus? That means they haven't found Jesus. That's what it means. Because if you found Jesus, you don't look for anybody else. You got it all and you keep on going. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. So things are happening all over and around us. Now, when you read that in Hebrews 2:17, wherefore, in all things it behooved to us, to him, to be made like unto the brethren, that he might be merciful, that he might produce a propitiation. Now, I can say to somebody, I don't want to die, and you don't want to die. What am I supposed to do? Let's get a cow to die for you. But you know, the cow only covers, or the animal only covers sin, but Jesus forgives him. When Jesus forgives you from your sins, listen to what I'm saying, he remembers them no more. You say, Brother David, I have been a bad boy, I have been a murderer, I killed them. But just remember, Jesus said in his word that your sins and iniquities, in Hebrews the 10th chapter, he'll remember no more. And that means you remember them because you cannot stop remembering some of them. But God says, I will not remember them, and He's God, and He has the power to do it. And when He says, I don't remember them anymore, He does it, and that's the end of that. We tend sometimes to like to bring other people's dirty laundry out. But you know what? Before God, He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Because when God forgives you, He forgives you, period. That's the end of that. He says He wants to be merciful, with other words, eleimon, with other words, now, and again, faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation. That's a wrong word there. To make propitiation. Who make a propitiation? He did. He speaks about God now. He's going to make that propitiation for you and me. You don't have to touch it because you're going to pollute it. And that propitiation has to be done by Christ, and that includes our word propitiation, the sacrifice also of the blood of Jesus. That's how you define it. So you see, now, let's see something now, what's going on. When you mention Christ being the propitiation for our sins, for some people, they believe it. Other people don't believe it. Oh, I'm just as good. You know? You know, regardless of how good you are, let's suppose you take a young man or a young lady. Their daddy was a preacher or something, or their father was a deacon. They come to church. They grow up there, and all of a sudden, they it seems to me they inherit religion. But they have to be born again. I don't care how good they are. Because they were born as sinners. There's a problem there. We get too many joiners. We get too many improved sinners, and we don't have real Christians sometimes. And what is it? Listen to what it is. We cannot separate the blood of Christ from the word propitiation. It's always bound together, because propitiation means He provided the sacrifice for you and I. God expects sacrifice. In the Old Testament, He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He means that. If there was another means, God had done His own way. But He said, no, there's no other way except blood. Now you say, who can die for who? Like the Presbyterians were looking weak in some articles. Now remember this, nobody can die for you except Jesus. Because you and I came out of Adam, and our blood is polluted. It is no good. So Christ had to come down, and was by the Holy Ghost. So was innocent blood there. And He produced innocent blood so He can redeem the guilty blood of yours and mine. The word is beautiful, isn't it? The whole plan of redemption fits together, my friend. If you understand what you pray in the name of Jesus, what you're talking about, you will be thrilled to death. You'll pass out. You won't even know what to do and how to do. So now God's wrath stops from you. Look again at the word propitiation. How it is defined is the turning away of the wrath by an offering. This offering is the blood of Christ at Calvary that turned away the wrath. So you have, let's say me, I'm growing up, and I say my daddy was this, my daddy was that. I went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, anytime you want to do. That doesn't mean that I'm saved. Salvation, sometimes people say, I do this, I'm in the message, I do that. The only thing the message instructs you to go back to Calvary, that's all, my friends, to get saved. Period. So, I'm sitting here now, I'm saying now, I want the wrath of God to turn away. What can I do? The thing is this, you cannot do anything. He has done it for you. If you attempt to help God, you pollute the sacrifice. So leave the sacrifice alone. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I don't know how to come to you. But you just open the door so you can come to my heart, Lord. I don't know how to do it. Give me the conviction. Give me repentance. And God will do that for you. So now the word propitiation in the Christian circles Referring to Christ involves the sacrifice of the blood of Christ and the turning away the wrath. Like we read in Hebrews 2:17 there, he says, to make reconciliation, the King James says, for the sins of the people. Now, this is pity, really. It's so bad. Because propitiation is one thing, reconciliation is another. If I would take propitiation, you know what I mean? He has done it all. When I take reconciliation, I start involving myself in the bargaining table. And you don't involve anybody. He has done it all and all and all for you. That's it. You don't bargain and say, I'll do this if you do this, if you do that. The only thing you do, you go and surrender to Christ. Now, looking at these things, when we talk about making propitiation, the words used there in the King James Version is too bad. It should be really propitiation. Reconciliation, that's how it's in the original text. Reconciliation is between God and us. I'm involved, and God is involved. I'm a sinner, and he paid the price. He says, Lord, you have done this. I accept that. That's reconciliation. Propitiation is sovereignly upon God what he has done for you. He has done it all. When he said, Jesus is my propitiation, means that he has done it all. The conviction comes in you. You say, I need God. I don't know what I need. And you know, I believe always, the more confused you are, the better you are. You'll go straight to Jesus, and you don't know. If you know, try to figure out everything. You go here, you go there, you go there. By the time you finish, you confuse everybody else. But if you say, Jesus, help me. I want to find you. I don't know how to have peace. I don't know how to be a Christian. I'm trying, but it doesn't work. What the evidence is, what the claims is not the practices. Between the two, I have a problem right here. So what happened? You're confused. You go to God and say, Lord Jesus, I want to start from zero. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing. But I want you to help me because you're my propitiation. I want to be reconciled back to God. I want God to be my king. I have a need. And Lord, I'm coming to you, not what I have done to do this and that. No. Because God has to give you the desire to go to him to be saved. You say, I can do this, I can do that. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, Romans, the second chapter. It's the goodness of God. And Timothy says, wait, he says, God probably will give them repentance. God gives you repentance. Something ticks in your heart. What's that ticking, Brother David? If you examine Acts 2 about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says their heart were pricked. Who did it? If you take the prodigal son, a sinner, he didn't know right from left, ran here, ran there, finishing a place where hogs are. And the final thing he says, when he came to himself, God brought him there to realize, I run away from God. I run away from my father's house. And he started going to the house, scratching his head. Now, when I'm going to get there, I'm going to tell him, Father, I have sinned against thee in heaven, or against heaven and thee. I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm going to tell him this. If he gets mad with me, I deserve it, but I'm going to tell him this. You know what he was doing that time? He was repenting. He was repenting. And when he got to his father, he looked at the gate. The father was waiting for him. I like that. The father had no conditions. The father says, he's my son. He failed. I'll take him back. Regardless of what it is. Isn't it beautiful to know that he's waiting for you and I to go to him? And God now, that reconciliation and propitiation we're talking about, stops the propitiation, stops the wrath of God, to come upon you. Reconciliation, entering into please the atoning sacrifice, what he has done for you. I'm so glad that Jesus is our propitiation. Once and we're here, I remember about a verse that came to my mind in the book of Romans. I think the second or the third chapter. No, the third chapter. I'm sorry. Being the 24th verse, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, that's propitiation again, that's in Jesus Christ, it's Christ Jesus. What is that in Christ Jesus? It's not in you, it's not in me. He does that in all. And you know, we are people who want to help God many times. Instead of surrender to God, we want to help God like he doesn't know his business. And we don't realize anything we try to do to help God, we pollute everything and make a mess out of it. Wait for God to answer. God will convict. Train the child the way it should go. When they will leave, they will not depart. The conviction will be there. Son of the flesh, not only servant, but became a slave. How did you know that? He said that in the scriptures. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. You remember that? He says, I do nothing. That's zero, unless I see my Father. He emptied himself, the kenosis. He emptied himself and he says, look, you know, he came down. And then we'll see, that's why God gave him a name above every other name, that is the name of Jesus. We should know that name. Am I right? We're baptized into that name. We should know what it's all about. We are praying in that name. We better know. And when we say, Lord Jesus, I'm baptized into your name. You know what you mean? I die to myself and I raise up a new man and I confess that something happened in me that Christ now dwells in here. It's not to take a bath. It's to identify with the name that you are baptized. If that name that you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The scriptures are beautiful. We like to improve them, but you cannot improve anything. The only thing you do, you pollute them. Leave them as it is. He is my propitiation. He provided the sacrifice to get me out of the wrath. That sacrifice was the blood, and you cannot separate Christ from the blood sacrifice, period. I like the word. Sin must be punished. The Holy God cannot ignore him, but he paid the price at Calvary for you and I. Where do we stand today? We can walk free. Why? Because he paid the price. I illustrated one time. Can you imagine to go back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'd like to double check. I'm bothered. I'm a mess. What are you bothered about, my son? And all of a sudden, Jesus said, I'm bothered, you know, because I don't know. Are you sure you forgive me for that and this and this and that? And you know what Jesus would say? Listen, he was a son. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he remembers them no more. I don't know what you're talking about. Because I said in my word, I remember them no more. We have a Christ, friends, Jehovah God in flesh, a Redeemer that excludes all the man-made religions, all the routines that they go through, maneuvering around. How many years you have been a Baptist? How many years you have been a Presbyterian? How many are you? How many years have you been in the message? You know what? Are you saved? We have no seniority by the blood of Jesus. I have no seniority. All the messages, you know what it will drive us? To be one with Christ. And you fulfill everything. The rest of it, he said this, she said that, they said this. Let them say these things. My faith is based in the blood of Christ. That's what I'm saying. Because the Scripture said so. Because His Spirit came back and filled me. Because He's witnessing in me. Because I know it's free. And you know what? If it was hard to pay, I don't know how to pay. And He made Himself a slave. Took it down and took the point of a slave. You imagine now, Jehovah God became you and I to become a kinsman redeemer. You say, I thought God is going to come up with a tall man 50 feet high or something. No, you know what? Go back to the book of Genesis. He made man His own image. Am I right? So when I see Jesus, I see you and I. He came down as a man. Not something with five eyes and three ears or something. No, no. He was just like you and I. And I like that. Aren't you? He took the image of the Kinsman Redeemer to redeem you and me out of the mess by providing the propitiation for your sins through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord, don't you? When we get to the name, my friend, I don't know if I can handle it, but something to know. When you pray in the name of Jesus, what you're talking about, it's beyond reason, beyond understanding. You know what it means when somebody gets sick or comes over, the Scriptures anoint him with oil, we do, and then we pray, a brother prays something, you see the name of Jesus. You know what you call the complete power of Jesus Christ down to the scene. Devils will tremble in the name of Jesus. I love the Lord, don't you? Let's stand. You know it's His grace. Let's sing Amazing Grace, my friend.